This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. I was sad to hear about Chuck Berry's death last weekend. When I worked in St. Louis a couple of decades ago, getting an interview with Berry was a challenge. Every reporter in town was trying to get one. He hadn't given an interview in more than 2 years when I decided to give it a shot. The owner of a venue where Berry played every couple of months suggested I come to the 40th anniversary of Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode. The idea was the club owner would help me get an interview before the show. I showed up. That did not happen. So I relaxed, had a couple of beers, recorded some of the concert with terrible acoustics. I started talking to the guy next to me. He was a public radio fan, really interested in a series of reports I'd done in St. Louis on schools desegregation. And when I asked his name, he replied, Charles Berry Jr. Yeah, Chuck's son. So I told him why I was there, and he made sure I got an interview after the show. Here's the piece I produced back in 1998.
Chuck Berry had already recorded such classic rock and roll hits as Maybelline, Roll Over Beethoven, and Rock and Roll Music, but the summer of 58 saw Berry's signature song, Johnny B. Goode, climb to the top 10 of Billboard's top 100 list.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens.
Just a few years before, Chuck Berry had been working a day job and at night playing blues and a unique style of hillbilly guitar music in an East St. Louis club. Occasionally, Berry would finish early and go to another club to sit in with the Sir John Trio. The trio's leader and piano player, Johnny Johnson, says eventually he and Berry got together.
One night, one of my musicians got sick and couldn't make it. And during that time, Chuck wasn't working that night, so I called him and asked him would he fill in for me that one night. And he agreed to do so, and that one night lasted around 30 years.
Berry became a member of the Sir John Trio, but he was restless. Berry wanted more than just playing the clubs. In Chicago, he ran into blues man Muddy Waters, who was an artist with Chess Records, and asked him how to get a record cut. Muddy Waters was impressed enough with Berry, he introduced him to Chess Records owner Leonard Chess. Chuck Berry played some blues tunes for Chess, but sales of blues records were on the decline, so it was a rollicking mix of hillbilly music and rhythm and blues that caught Leonard Chess's attention. The song title Ida Red was changed to Maybelline.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do.
Johnny Johnson and some Chess recording artists, such as Willie Dixon, helped Berry cut the record. It was a hit with both the black R&B audience and the white pop music fans. The record was issued as Chuck Berry and His Combo. Johnny Johnson says the change from the Sir John Trio to Chuck Berry's Combo never really bothered him.
It was his song. It was his doing that took the tape to Chicago. And so I figured it wasn't no more than right for him to have a title because he did all the work to get us started.
Berry, Johnson, and drummer Ebbie Hardy hit the road in Berry's Cadillac, touring and playing clubs across the nation. By 1961, Chuck Berry was an established rock and roll star. In the next few years, his influence was magnified by the British invasion.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music, any old way you choose it.
The chief curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum in Cleveland, Jim Henke, says when the British bands such as the Beatles started covering his songs, Chuck Berry's music found a whole new audience.
Certainly, you know, the Stones were greatly influenced by him and the Beatles and all those British groups from the 60s, you know, even recorded a lot of Chuck Berry songs. So I think it's, you know, just that sort of basic rock and roll style that he developed has carried on for 40 years now.
Ironically, when his music was reaching new levels of popularity, Chuck Berry was in jail.
It seems like every 10 years Chuck Berry gets in trouble with the law one way or another.
Ken Thomas is the archivist of research papers on Chuck Berry at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Thomas says Berry's rock and roll lifestyle landed him in trouble a few times in his life, but in the early 60s, he was serving time for transporting an underage girl over state lines for, quote, immoral purposes.
This is a famous thing in rock and roll history. He was convicted on that and was serving time when the Beatles came out and made a tremendous amount of money off of many of his own songs while he was in prison, not able to go out and tour and not able to take advantage of that success.
Beyond the British invasion, Chuck Berry's influences have been heard in other artists' tunes for years. His driving rhythm, his aggressive guitar riffs, his Girls and Cars lyrical themes all have been repeated in rock songs for decades now. In fact, the Beach Boys went too far in imitating the Chuck Berry sound.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA.
The Beach Boys song Surfin' USA sounded a little too much like Berry's Sweet Little 16.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA.
Berry sued the Beach Boys and won songwriting credit for Surfin' USA in court. His influences on rock and roll had been so great, when it was established in 1986, Chuck Berry was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Again, chief curator Jim Henke.
He was actually the very first person to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I think it was clearly just because of the influence that he had had in the development of the music. I mean, he really is one of the two or three most influential people, I mean, right there at the top of the list, and so it was... You know, I guess pretty natural that Chuck would be one of the first to get in.
During the 1980s and now in the 90s, Berry is still performing.
Oh, I don't tour anymore. I just play like once a week, a couple times a month, you know, because they tell me they can't afford me, you know.
Berry can still fill concert halls of 10,000, but in St. Louis, he can often be found playing in a small hall called the Duck Room, named in honor of Berry's move on stage, the Duck Walk, at a place called Blueberry Hill. Blueberry Hill owner Joe Edwards has become a friend of Berry's, and the rock and roll legend plays the Duck Room every couple of months.
You know, I'm just thrilled that he plays at Blueberry Hill, because when he's out of town, he's playing in huge places in Europe and in Las Vegas and Atlanta and different places around the country. The Duck Room at Blueberry Hill is fairly small, so he does it out of love of music and of St. Louis.
At 72 years of age, Chuck Berry still duck walks right across the stage. He drops to his knees in front of the crowd pressing the stage and gets lost in a guitar solo. When he hops back up, he smiles and asks the crowd to remind him which song he's playing. He checks with a backup musician and launches into the lyrics again. Some wonder if the forgetfulness means the years are catching up with Chuck Berry. But his old piano sideman, Johnny Johnson, smiles at that.
He's too smart a person to forget his song, especially every show he do, he puts on this little act, so I think it's just part of his show. And it gets the laugh out of the crowd, and that's what he's out there for, to entertain the crowd.
The 40th anniversary of Johnny B. Good has been noted at this show, and Berry cuts loose.
I haven't done Johnny B. Good.
He says over the years, the song has come to mean different things to him.
When I first wrote it, it was sentimentality, memories, and now it's like money. People buy the song, and you know what? It makes me feel good because it helps me to eat, sleep, take care of my children, you know, and all that. So it's a living, you know.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame chief curator Jim Henke says regardless what Berry thinks of his creation today, Johnny B. Good is part of rock and roll history.
Boy, I mean, it's the kind of song that really does define rock and roll. I mean, I think there's maybe a handful of tunes like that, but, you know, Johnny B. Good is just one of those signature songs that, everyone knows it, and like I said, everyone's probably played it at one point or another in their career.
Chuck Berry is not yet ready to give up playing his hits from the 50s, 60s, and even the 70s. His only number one hit, My Ding-a-Ling, topped the charts in 1972. But he laughs about how long he's been playing rock and roll.
I've been in it, since 55. What's that, 44 years? 33, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever. But anyway, I feel good. I ain't lying. I feel good. In fact, I'm glad to be anywhere now, you know.
Chuck Berry says he's been negotiating with record companies for a new album. He's got 9 new songs he wants to record, but he says the big labels want too much of a cut. He's now considering recording on a local label in the hope of keeping a bigger percentage of the take for himself. But he's in no hurry. At this point in his career, Chuck Berry's got nothing more to prove.